Again, we would like to echo the welcome given by our brother. You're very welcome, and it's very good to see each and every one here today. And I'd like to begin in reading in God's Word in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, and breaking into the chapter at verse 16. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say unto my soul, soul, thou hast much goods, laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. And also I'd like to read in the book of the Psalms, in Psalm 49, a few verses in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 49, in reading at verse 6, we would read, they that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him, for the redemption of the soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever. For the redemption of the soul is precious. The redemption of the soul is costly, and it ceaseth forever. And if we were to look in Matthew's Gospel for a verse, in Matthew 16, in verse 26, you would read these words. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? I'm sure you'll understand what I've been thinking about tonight. Now, for my day-to-day work, what I do to earn a living is I work in what's called the financial industries. Doesn't mean I've got any money. Just means I work for people that work with money. Now, at this time, you couldn't avoid it, but you've heard in the news of the credit crunch. And you've heard in the news of banks, which were once seen as being the most stable organisations and the most trusted organisations, and now they're fallen. Some have gone altogether, brought down by greed, brought down by this credit crunch. And I'll tell you, this credit crunch has just proved exactly what we've been reading. They that trust in their wealth. Well, there is no contentment to be found in material things. That has been proved over and over and over again. Oh, if only I had, then I'd be happy. If I could just win that lottery, you know, that would be it. I wouldn't need to worry about anything else ever again. I'd be happy. It's scary when you think that people that have then won the lottery, rather than being happy, have become more miserable, grasping to try and just get that bit more, and finding no happiness, no contentment, no joy. They went on to kill themselves. And it would break your heart to think that they've got all that they need, but it wasn't enough. So, according to the world, they had all that they needed, but they didn't really have what they needed for contentment. And you know, there's no security in material things, and that has been proven over and over again. If you were to look back in history, you read about the Wall Street crash and how many men died because they had lost everything overnight. Now, today we are calling it a credit crunch, and companies are struggling, and individuals are struggling, and financial institutions are struggling. Why? Because there's no security in material things. There is only security. There is only salvation to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only safe place. That is the only secure place. And that is the only place in which you can find real happiness. Oh, they talk about the credit crunch, and this is terrible. And people who own houses and now find that the house that they paid so much money for isn't worth what they owe to pay back. And they call it negative equity. They've got this building and they owe so much on it, but the valuation has dropped so much. No security and material things. Well, God's word tells us that there is no security in material things. God tells us that there's no hope in wealth. The psalmist wrote, they trust in their wealth, they trust in the multitude of their riches, but they can't redeem their brother. They can't pay the ransom for his soul, because the redemption of a soul is costly. And then we read in Matthew's Gospel, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? And the answer is nothing. He can give nothing in exchange. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. God owns everything in this earth. And you, and me as well. But if we could, by some means, gain ownership of all that this world has, every ounce of gold, it wouldn't buy you 1 minute in heaven. Not a single breath of eternal life would it give you. So there's a real credit crunch. Far worse than what's out there in the world. Far worse than you can read in your papers. Far, far worse than you will see in the news. For it is the bankruptcy of the soul of man. And we are lost. Why? Because of sin. God's word tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, that's not pointing fingers at any person. All have sinned. From the king or the queen, right the way down to the ministers and the prime minister, and down further to the company directors, and further to the vice presidents, and further down to the managers, and the workers, and the unemployed, and the beggars, all have sinned. It doesn't matter what level of life you live in, whether you think that you are in the ruling classes, or whether you think you are in the hard-working classes. It doesn't matter what class you think you're in. God's word says all have sinned. Indeed, God's word says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Fallen short of God's standard. Fallen short of what is required. We owe what we can't pay. That is the real credit crunch. We cannot redeem our souls. We cannot pay the redemption price. And you know, Peter would tell us that we are not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, at the moment, in this world, there are politicians and world leaders meeting to try and figure out a way out of this global phenomenon, this terrible credit crunch. And they're looking for answers, and they're looking for a way of escape, and they're looking for a way to bring stability to this world. Well, let me tell you, the real stability that you need is salvation in your soul, and God has provided a way of salvation. We cannot buy our salvation. We have read that the earth belongs to God. We have read that much riches cannot redeem us. And we read about a rich man who, having been blessed by getting even more riches, decided that, what am I going to do? I'll pull down those barns, I'll get rid of them, and I'll build up new, and I'll put everything I've got in these new barns, and that'll be me set up. That'll be me, I'll be alright. I'll be able to say to my soul, soul, take thy ease, thou hast much, eat, drink, and be merry. And God says, thou fool. Why? Because he had looked to the material things. He had looked to his wealth, and he had trusted that he had much and much time. But God says, thou fool, because there's no security in wealth, there's no safety in material things. And he had not looked to God. He had not looked to eternity. He had not asked for salvation. Now, this world's looking for a way of escape. This world is looking for stability. And let me tell you, there is stability to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. He has paid the price. In 2 Corinthians, we would read these words, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. We have nothing. We are empty. We need God's salvation. We can't give anything to God to redeem our souls. We've got nothing to pay. But the Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, he had everything. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the highest place in heaven. It says he thought it not robbery, equality with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant. He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's our Lord Jesus Christ. Everything was his, yet for your sakes, for my sake, he became poor. Oh, in Christmas time, we love to think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, born of a virgin, wrapped in swaddling bands. And where is he put? In a manger. Why? Why was he not born in the palace? For that is the place for a king. No room in the palace. They didn't want the king. And they went to the inn. and there was no room in the inn. And there was no room anywhere to be found. And wrapped in swaddling bands and laying in a manger. What's a manger? It's a feeding trough for animals. The highest place in heaven is his, and his by right, and yet there he is, wrapped in swaddling bands, laying in a manger. The poorest of the poor, for your sakes he became poor. He came from heaven's highest glories, he came to earth for you and for me. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God tells us that we are sinners. God tells us that we have fallen short of his standard, that we cannot pay for our redemption. We are barred from heaven because of sin. So God's Son came from heaven. He who was rich became poor for you and for me. But he did far more. If you were to read in chapter 5 of 2 Corinthians, you would read these wonderful words. For he, that is God, hath made him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, that one who was pure in every facet of his life, no sin, unlike you and I. Sin has entered us. We are sinful by our very nature. Sin marred and marks all of our lives, but he was different. He knew no sin. Peter said he did no sin, and John could say in him is no sin. That pure, holy Lamb of God was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Peter goes further and tells us, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. The Lord Jesus Christ, God's holy, spotless Son, left heaven, the highest place in heaven, came down to earth, the poorest place in earth, and moved through this scene on earth as a sinless, holy man. He made the world, and yet the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But he came here for you and for me. And as he moved through this scene on earth, he would say to his disciples, the birds of the air have their nests, the foxes have their home, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. The King of Kings became poor for you and for me, and he went all the way to Calvary for you and for me. We are so poor, and we cannot offer to God a ransom for our souls. Our material wealth is worthless before God. God owns the entire universe. What can we pay to God for a ransom? And God knew that we were in debt. God knew that we could never pay the price. And so his Son he sent. His Son came from heaven to pay the penalty for your sin and for mine, to pay the debt that we couldn't pay. He came. And that debt meant he had to go to Calvary. All the way to Calvary. And he knew exactly every last thing that would happen. He knew every stripe that he would bear. Every time that a false witness spoke against them, he knew that that would happen. That they would curse his name. That they would mock him. That they would take their hands and they would beat him. And they would drag the hair from his face. His back like a ploughed field, because they took a lash, a Roman whip, and they whipped him until it would have killed a man. And then carrying his cross upon a back, bleeding, he carried it to Calvary. And he knew every stripe, every lash, every smack, he knew. And yet he allowed men to treat him so. And he allowed men to take him to Calvary. And there he was nailed hand and foot to that Roman tree. And raised up to the gaze of the mocking. Oh, they shut out the lip and they point the finger and they say, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. They laugh and they say, he trusted in God. Let God deliver him. And you know, he bore it for you. He bore it for me. He allowed men to treat him so. And he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The men who had nailed him hand and foot to a tree, the men who cursed and laughed, the men who treated him such, forgive them. They know not what they do. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. He paid my debt. The richest of men cannot buy 1 minute in heaven. I had no hope without Christ. But he paid my debt. The Lord Jesus hanging upon the tree, suffering such agonies that I can barely begin to imagine. God, holy and righteous, poured the penalty for sin upon him. And on that tree he bore it in his own body. And John's Gospel says in chapter 19, when he had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head, and he gave up the ghost. It is finished. That word is complete. Done. Paid in full. If a debtor held a note and you owed that debtor the amount on the note, you would pay a bit and you would pay a bit and at the end. And once you had paid the full amount, the debtor would take the note and write across it, paid in full. That's the same idea. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, finished. It was paid in full. There was not a penny left to pay. There was not a thing left to do. The work was completely finished. The debt was completely paid. Paul tells us that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Who gave himself a ransom for all. Can you or I pay the debt? No. What should it profit a man should he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There is no security in wealth. There is no contentment in wealth, but in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, there is safety, there is certainty, and there is enjoyment. Because in trusting the Lord Jesus Christ, your debt, all the sin of your entire life, is paid in full and washed away. And you know there's no amount of wealth on earth can buy you that safety and certainty. You don't need to worry about another mark being made against you, for in heaven the debt is paid in full. And when material things are taken and gone, whether it be by banks or by mortgage lenders or by earthquake and storm, and they are washed away and they are no longer yours to hold, you have certainty of a home in heaven. Neither moth nor rust shall touch it, and the thief, they cannot get it and steal it away, and it's yours, and it's certain, far more certain than anything on this earth, and it can be yours by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that enjoyment can be yours today, because you're not promised eternal life in the future. You're not promised a home in heaven in the future. You're given it right now. If you will trust the Lord Jesus Christ, if you will accept that the debt he paid on Calvary was your debt, then you are given as a present possession, right here, right now, eternal life. And the certainty of that eternal life, and the security that you are held in his hand, and that he will never let you go. And the promise that he made to his disciples in John chapter 14, when he tells them of his Father's house, of the many mansions, and he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you unto myself, that where I am, there ye might be also. And you have that promise right now if you accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour. We stand whosoever, and that is the truth. The gospel is to whosoever believeth. That's you. That's me. I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and it scares me when I think it was actually 29 years ago that I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and he became my Saviour. And 29 years ago, I knew that there was a place prepared for me in heaven. I knew that the Lord Jesus Christ, who is coming back, maybe tonight, was coming back for me. And I knew that my sin was gone. Not because of any good in me, there isn't any, but because of what he did at Calvary. He paid my debt on Calvary's tree. And I trusted him. And that day he saved me. And that was the day I entered into heaven. That was the day I knew that I was going home. But you know, since then, he's kept me through the way. And you know, God's word tells us that we have blessings now. And we will have every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus. But we've got to accept them first. He won't force himself on you. And not, now there is provision made for everyone, but unfortunately not everyone will be saved. For you need to make the decision yourself. You need to call upon the Lord while he is near. You need to call upon the name of the Lord for yourself. Nobody else can do it for you. And he will not force himself. Now Stephen was with us in Livingston last week, and he read in Luke's Gospel about the crucifixion. And when they crucified my Lord Jesus Christ, they crucified two others. One on the left hand and one on the right. And these two were malefactors, and these two were dying that very day. And they both railed in him. And one came to his senses and realized who was hanging on that middle tree. And on that day when three men were to die, on that day when three men were hanging in agony on Roman crosses, one of them said, "We receive the just rewards of our deeds. We're just getting what we deserve. This man hath done nothing amiss." He realized that the Lord Jesus Christ was spotless, the Holy Son of God. And he then said to the Lord Jesus Christ, "Lord, remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom." And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That dying thief, he took the opportunity, his last chance, and he grasped it. And he was with Christ that night. That very day he was in heaven. But the other man, he died. And his destination was not heaven. We read of a rich man who lifted up his eyes in hell, being in a torment. And that's where that other thief went. Why? Not because Christ's finished work of Calvary wasn't enough, but because he didn't accept it. Two men died. One went to heaven and one went to hell. Two men. What side are you going to be on? Will you accept the Lord Jesus Christ in faith, take him as your Saviour, and know that your debt is wiped out? Know that you have a place in heaven, that you have security that no amount of money can buy? Or will you be like this other man that we read of in Luke's Gospel, who said, "I will take my needs, I will eat, drink, be merry, and hear the words of God, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." The decision has to be yours, and you must make it this night. Boast not thyself of tomorrow. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. You are being offered salvation right now as a free gift, but it is a limited offer. For soon, soon the Lord Jesus shall come. Soon I shall be in heaven. I shall be with him. Maybe tonight. But if you're left, if you don't accept him now, then that will be forever too late. If the Lord comes, you will be left with no hope of salvation and only a fearful looking forward to of judgment. Now God does not want you to suffer. God, it is not his will that you would be damned. He has done all that he can for you. He loves you so much that he sent his son to die upon Calvary to save you. But you must accept the gift. And if you accept it, you will be saved. You will have security. Your debt will be paid. But if you reject him, if you put it off, if you say next week, then you might be lost. For tomorrow we don't know. We only have now. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Please, accept the gift. Have your debts wiped out. know that you will have a home in heaven. Do it now. Now we'll just ask for God's blessing. Our God and Father, we come unto thee again and we give thee thanks for this another opportunity when thy word can be opened. We think of the solemnity of the word, that there is no security in wealth, there is no safety in much riches, but there is security to be found in thy Son. That salvation is to be had as a free gift from thee by any who will accept him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. O our God, we would ask that if there be any in this hall tonight who have not received this free gift, who have not accepted thy great love, that they might not leave this hall the same way, that they might accept thy Son as their own Saviour now, while there is time. O our God, how we would ask for thy blessing. And we would ask thee to part us in thy will. And we would ask for all these things in the precious name of thy Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.